Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're back with you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD and iHeartRadio and a whole bunch of others. You can get us at ShareCare.com as well. Radio MD. In fact, if you say subscribe in the email to us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, you can get the list of all the places, and you can get the list of all the guests. Today we have a remarkable and wonderful woman, Kristen Kirkpatrick. She's written the book Skinny Liver with a co-author whose name I can't even pronounce, but she has done this remarkable job. And when I'm thinking about skinny liver, I always remember Morgan Spurlock. You are listening to Podcast 820, and this is Podcast 820, our guest, Kristen Kirkpatrick. Let's bring her over. Kristen, you wrote the book Skinny Liver. How did you happen to tell us about why skinny liver is important and how you happened to write the book?
Great. So thanks, Dr. Mike, for having me on this show. I wrote the book because I see tons of patients every day at the Cleveland Clinic, many of which are overweight or obese. And a lot of them would come to me and their liver enzymes would be elevated and they'd have some sort of other comorbidities, things like that going on. Many of the times people wouldn't really take the liver enzymes that they had elevated really seriously. And they just said, well, I'm just told I need to lose weight. And if I lose weight, that will solve the problem. So in many ways, yes, losing weight will solve the problem, but there wasn't a guide or a resource out there that I could find that helped these people lose weight the correct way and gave them foods that actually helped to strengthen their liver and help to strengthen all the detoxifying impacts and really a resource on all the other things above and beyond diet and exercise and things we don't think about, like household chemicals and things like that can break down the liver as well. So there was a lack of information out there for patients, plenty of scientific information for physicians, but when it came down to the consumer, there just really wasn't a good guide, and I wanted to provide that guide.
So we should tell people that skinny liver comes out in the 24th of January.
Yep.
So we're a little early, but you can pre-order this on Amazon. It's there already, and the book is, I guess the cover looks to me like it is red, white and green, and has a skinny liver, a proven program to prevent and reverse the new silent epidemic, fatty liver disease. Tell us about fatty liver disease. How common is it? When did it start? How's it gotten so new? You say a new silent epidemic. Why is it silent and why is it new?
Well, let's start with kind of why is it silent. So fatty liver disease is silent because in the very early stages, there really are not a lot of symptoms. The greatest symptom that you might see in these early stages when fat accumulation is occurring in the liver is sometimes just a little bit of tiredness. And most people are tired. Just people you meet every day. Most of my patients will say, well, I'm tired most of the time. So they don't take that as kind of any sign that there's something wrong with their liver. The reason that that's significant is because once
so
you
just
get into
tiredness,
the,
just a lack of energy is a major symptom
of energy.
Of this.
That could be a major symptom in the very early stages, which is most likely why someone may not associate fatigue with anything going on with their liver. They may associate it with, I haven't had enough coffee today, or I didn't get enough sleep. Usually the liver is the last place where they will look. So the reason that that is such an important distinction is because in the latter stages of the disease, once we get into a form that we start getting more fibrosis, then we get cirrhosis, and that's inflammation, and then actual scarring, we can develop another condition that is related called NASH. And when we develop this condition, it's in some ways a lot of times too late. So, like fatty liver disease is now, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, is now the fourth leading cause of liver transplantation in the U.S. And 12 million people will be diagnosed with it this year. So
prevalence 12 of... Million in the United States will be diagnosed with it.
Yeah.
And the fourth, how many the fourth, total have it?
Total, we think, have it is about 80 million.
So 80 million out of, say, 240 million adults, so it's about one-third of the adults.
About one-third of adults, and we definitely are starting to see it much more prevalent in the pediatric population as well. Some statistics do have it as high as if you're overweight or obese, and just keep in mind, of course, those are huge risk factors. They might not be the only risk factor, but if you are overweight or obese, chances of you having it are anywhere from 60 to 80%. And even if it's in the beginning stages, you might start getting that fat accumulation in the liver. So this is incredibly prevalent. It's increased substantially since 1980. I mean, just a huge increase. And even looking at the increase in liver transplantation in the past two decades, that's been about a threefold increase. So the increases are huge. It's not a conversation that people have had, but it is becoming worse. It is becoming an epidemic, and many health experts do see this as one of the next health crises. So, we have to try and reduce the numbers, and we can't reduce the numbers until we actually treat it.
If you look at this, this is getting to be a crisis. Is it as bad as, type 2 diabetes is about the same rate, and we hear
right.
about that all the time. Why don't you think we're hearing about fatty liver disease all the time?
Well, there's a few reasons. I think, number one, it may not always be incredibly routine to test for. I mean, a lot of people do get complete metabolic panels where they will see their liver enzymes. But a lot of times physicians will like to go a step further and to really make a diagnosis, do a liver ultrasound, which is incredibly non-invasive, but it is an ultrasound. And so I think the diagnostic approaches to saying someone has type 1 diabetes, or rather type 2 is a better example, are much more clear-cut. And so I think we definitely have more diagnostic measures to do that. We also have a lot more medicine involved in treating people with type 2 diabetes. I mean, there's just from a pharmacological standpoint, we have a tremendous amount of medications that are available. And when we see that people have an elevated hemoglobin A1C or an elevated blood sugar, we know, well, we want to do diet and exercise, very similar to fatty liver. They're very similar in a lot of ways. But they could also go on a pharmacological approach as well. Fatty liver is a little bit different in that the pharmacological approaches are not really there yet. They're in the process. There may be a few that are being tested, but the market trend for this is going to be huge from that standpoint. Obviously, as a dietitian, my bias is that we always treat with some sort of lifestyle intervention before we hit the drug. But I think, and I also think there's more attention to it. I mean, there's much more attention to diabetes.
So let's go to two subjects. How do we prevent, is if I stay thin, do I prevent fatty liver disease, or does it matter what foods I eat? Is it possible to get fatty liver disease even if I stay thin?
Yeah, it is possible. Obviously, the major percentage of people that have it are going to be overweight or obese. But as I said earlier, that is not the protective measure to it. If you're thin, it doesn't mean there's no chance of getting it. We have plenty of cases out there where people are thin, and either for genetic factors or just a really poor diet, they start developing this condition as well. So if you're thin, you can get it. This is definitely a disease that is caused directly by excess fat in the body, and then obviously excess sugar is the big one. I mean, there's a lot of things associated with low nutrient density, not getting enough fruits and vegetables, but sugar is a huge culprit here. And especially fructose, and fructose is only metabolized by the liver. So in a lot of ways, many people have blamed the massive increase in this condition on the massive increase in our consumption of fructose, and clearly not talking about fructose from plant-based sources like fruit or vegetables where we might find it naturally, or milk. We're talking about fructose that's manufactured in many of the what you would call aging products, Dr. Roizen, some of the very poisonous products out there that we are filling our bodies with.
So we don't really know the full cause of this. If you had to have a diet that prevented it, would it just be avoiding added sugars, or is there something else we should do?
No, I think added sugars is obviously the first step. That's really important. But, I mean, really, it also goes in looking into the protective measures as well. So, obviously, sugar is kind of the more negative side of things. Take it out. You're going to help to prevent some of the aggressive inflammation that's occurring with the liver. But from a preventative standpoint and from making the liver stronger, getting a lot of color in your diet, getting a lot of fruits and vegetables, getting certain very specific foods. Green tea, for example, has in their catechins in green tea, we know helps to improve functions of the liver. Coffee, for example, there's so many studies linking coffee consumption to good liver health. So cruciferous vegetables, that's another great food that we know is very highly associated with it. So yes, it's about getting the sugar out, but it's really about a complete overhaul of the diet and really making improvements that go much more above and beyond just saying, okay, well, I'm going to cut the soda out and the sugary cereal, and I should be okay after that. That's a first step, and it's a great first step, but we have to go further than that. This has to be lifelong, sustainable, and not just a quick fix. That's probably why we have found ourselves in the situation we are in the United States with our overweight and obesity levels. We can't sustain weight loss because we don't do it right to begin with.
So let's get it straight for the listeners. The basic thing is that if you feel tired, you should ask your doc for some lab tests to help. And some of the lab tests are rather sophisticated, like an ultrasound of the liver, not just liver enzymes, not just a test, a blood test, that is. The second thing is if you're overweight, you're more likely to have it, and maybe should every overweight person get liver function tests to see if they have this, or how do we do
that?
Yeah,
my opinion, yes. Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
I think so.
And now there's some, and you said there's some specific foods to regularly eat that if we're avoiding sugar and having lots of colorful fruits and vegetables, that's a good thing. The other thing you should say, tell us more about what's in your book. How did you break it down, and why did you do it in this order?
Sure. So the breakdown of the book, we wanted to start with myself and Dr. Hanone, who's the hepatologist who contributed to the book as well. We wanted to start with just a basic overview of what the liver does. I mean, if you walk down the street, Dr. Roizen, and you go up to someone and say, can you tell me where your liver is and what it does? I would say the majority of people who are not a physician or a nurse or someone in the medical field, they probably don't even know exactly where it is, and most likely don't really know what the liver does. So the first part of it, the first section really, is just looking at what the liver does. What are some of the very basic steps that we know help to give your liver a little bit of love? That's a big one. And really looking at kind of the detoxifying impacts of the liver. We wanted to make that a big section of the first segment of the book because if you look at how much money Americans spend on detoxifiers, on cleanses, on things of that nature, it's in the billions. I mean, it's a huge amount of money. And just the term, I hear that term all the time from my patients. Well, I'm on a detox diet. I'm going to detox my organs and things of that nature. But one of the main roles of the liver is to provide that to you. It is the one organ that actually detoxifies all of the toxins that go through your body. Everything ends up in the liver at some point. If your liver obviously
that's why I say you don't want to eat liver anytime. So when you hear liver and onion served, or when you hear of chopped liver, or I'm having liver with X, don't accept that. It's the organ meats are the worst, and the liver is the worst, probably the worst of the organ meats, because every toxin that the cow, pig, lamb, chicken has ever had is stored in their liver. If they couldn't get rid of it, it's in their liver, and you get it when you eat it.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So, and that's true of obviously for animals that we would eat, or we would tell our patients not to eat, but that's true for us as well.
Liver is not the way to get a healthier liver.
Not the way. It's probably the opposite, right? It actually would harm your liver even more. But just kind of the basics of that, and obviously the basics of what we call the latest silent killers, because of those non-symptomatic events that occur in the very early stages. The second part of the book goes into a little bit more of here are some of the strategies to kind of love your liver a little bit. Some basic steps, we go over the protective role of exercise and specifically which exercises are going to be best. We actually worked a little bit with Judy Barr, who's part of the Wellness Institute at the Cleveland Clinic as well. And she provided some moves that are yoga moves that are specific to trying to help the liver. So things like that that the average person may not know. Some strategies, how to set up your kitchen, how to set up your eatery to make it more healthy and to make you more likely to be healthy. And then in part three, we really get into the nuts and bolts of the actual skinny deliver diet and the love your liver eating plan. We actually have two diets in the book, and the purpose of it is because, and when I say diet, I don't mean diet as in weight loss. I mean, an eating pattern. We wanted to have an eating pattern that was appropriate for people who may not need to lose weight and just want to strengthen the health of their liver, just want to make sure that they can use some of these preventative strategies. After all, in part one, we, of course, the book is really geared towards NAFLD and NASH, but we do cover other liver conditions as well and just talk about what those things are. And then the second diet is clearly one that more prone to people wanting to lose weight on that. We didn't want to focus, and then this is how I treat my patients as well. I didn't want to focus on calories, counting calories and things of that nature. I instead wanted to focus on nutrient density, getting the right foods in, and doing it in a very realistic way. I'm sure, Dr. Roizen, of all the people that you have on this show, there's a million different diet books out there, and so many people find some of the diet books somewhat difficult to follow.
Well, when we come back, Kristen, I'm going to have you back. And for the second show, we'll do that in 2 weeks. And for the second, the book still won't be out yet, but they'll still be able to pre-order it. I think it'll just be about out, because when does the book come out again? You told me.
January 24th.
January 24th, and the second one, is that a Wednesday? No, it's a Tuesday. I think the show, maybe the next show will be on that 17th, so it's a week in advance. So people can order it that day on Amazon. It's called Skinny Liver, a proven program to prevent and reverse the new silent epidemic, fatty liver disease. Comes out January 24th. Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Kirkpatrick, K-R-K-P-A-T-R-I-C-K, has been our guest and is the author of the book. Kristen, when we come back, I want you to talk to us about the specifics of the diet and how you derive the diet and what results you should expect with it. We'll be right back next week with a new You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Remember the key story: don't drive without 7 hours of sleep. And if you do 30 minutes of walking every day, you will save on average $2,500 a year for you and your insurer. And if everybody did that, that's $75 billion in the U.S., and we're well on our way to being a much healthier society. We've just been talking with Kristen Kirkpatrick. The book is Skinny Liver. Pre-order it now. Thanks very much for listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Every Tuesday, 7 a.m., we release a new one on Radio MD and iHeart.